eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talk about that stretch a little bit. 9/11 hits. Obviously, we all go through what we go through. We play on. Probably that year, Arizona Diamondbacks, in any other year, the underdog, the nation would be pulling for you guys. But because it was 9/11, because it was New York,
right.
I think the Yankees had an, you know, everybody except for the people in Arizona were pulling for the Yankees to win. The things that I remember about that series watching was George Bush throwing out the first pitch.
That was unbelievable. Take
me through that series.
Okay. Well, first of all, there's always pre-series hype. We had just beat the Atlanta Braves, you know, those Braves teams, really? we had just kind of made mincemeat out of them. We kind of kicked them around. And so the New York media, and you know all about the New York media, they decided that the Diamondbacks, we were not worthy opponents for the Yankees. We're not worthy opponents. And you know, it should have been the Braves and the Yankees, but instead these, you know, who are this expansion team, you know, who the heck, you know? So that's what we're hearing. So that we had the home field advantage because it was a coin flip that, you know, the National League got the home field. We go out and we beat Andy Pettit 3-1. Shilling got the ball, not Randy Johnson, for game one. And, you know, that's a tough choice for a manager, you know, quite possibly the best left-hander of all time, or a guy that's not in the Hall of Fame, but he's still really, really good. And so he gave the ball to Shilling in game one, and Shilling goes out and he beats Andy Pettit. I think we beat him 3-4-1. And it was just an exciting, you know, nut cutting game. Then the next game we come out and we were facing Mike Mussina. And it's Randy Johnson against Mike Mussina. We go out in game two, and Craig Counsell hits a long ball in the bottom of the first inning, and we go out and we cruise to another victory. So now we're flying back. Now we fly back to New York City, and we go. We were invited to Ground Zero, and I'll try to keep this as short as possible, but it's tough to keep this short. But we the Diamondbacks went down there, and we saw this devastation. It was still smoldering, Booney. Yeah, and honestly, that's the first time in my life and only time in my life that I smelled death. And I don't ever want to smell that again, Booney, ever. But it was one of the most important things I ever did in my life was go down to Ground Zero. And we met the emergency workers and the firefighters and all the heroes that survived Ground Zero. And, And half of those people were like, hey, take it easy on the Yankees, you guys, come on, you know, and all that. And the other half were like, we love you guys. We're Mets fans, you know? So they still had their admiration for baseball after all they had been through in 9/11. And it was just one of the coolest things I've ever done, even though it was, I'll never forget it because of what I witnessed and what I smelled.
Yeah, it was, yeah, because we were there the series before you, and they whooped us, but we went down and did that same tour, and it was.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and that's back, once again, we don't have any, all we have is our memories. Yeah. You know, today you'd have video, and
no,
you'd have
it, you could replay it. I'd have had my phone out and doing all that.
But I try to explain it to people. I remember just walking around with they made you put the hard hat on
and
walk around, and it was nothing like I've ever seen before.
Oh yeah. So now I'm going to fast forward to the actual baseball, since you asked me about it. So we go out and we're facing in no particular order. We're facing Clemens. We're facing El Duque and I think it was Mussina again. So anyway, Clemens beats us 2-1. And then El Duque, my only World Series home run, I hit a home run off El Duque in game 4. And I swear to God, Booney, it went in the upper deck. You know, I didn't have huge pop, but I upper decked El Duque. So to this day, you know, and I say, oh yeah, El Duque knows my name. So anyway, we had a closer named Byung-Young Kim, South Korean guy that had amazing stuff. And he comes out in the eighth inning of the, that we were up 2-1. So it was game 4. He comes out in the eighth inning, strikes out the side, just dominates, and gets 3 of the easiest outs you'll ever see. You know, Bernie Williams, and you know, you just great. You know, the great hitters they had. And then next thing you know, get a couple out, get a base hit in the ninth inning, get a couple outs, and Tino Martinez hits a home run to tie up the game. We go to extra innings. Jeter. Shanks one about 290 feet down the right field line. And I'm like, all right, that's the third out. Let's go. And it goes in the first row. And we just lose in awful fashion. So now 2-2. Fast forward to the next game. Kind of the same story. We get to Mussina a little bit and we're up, and we're up by 2 this time. We bring in Byung-Young Kim again. Gets a couple guys out. Paul O'Neill gets on first base, and then Scott Brosius takes a slider and hits it in the left field seats for a 2-run homer to tie the game in the bottom of the ninth with 2 outs again. And then, unfortunately, I think Chuck Knobloch walked us off with a base hit, with a game winning base hit, and we just lose in heart crushing fashion again. So we felt like this series should have been wrapped up in 5 games. Instead, we're flying back to the desert down 3-2. And we're just like, Jesus, what happened? So we get back game 6, Randy Johnson's pitching against, Andy Pettit. And I'll be honest.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
We had Andy's pitches. We had him. He tipped every pitch out of the stretch. He didn't tip anything out of the windup, but he tipped it out of the stretch. So I'm going to try to show you what he did, Booney. Okay, if he was throwing a fastball, he'd out of the stretch, he'd bring it and he'd pop. he'd pop his glove and come down. If he was throwing off speed, he would just come down smooth. That's how blatant it was. Fastball, bring it up, pop, smooth when they're off speed. So our leadoff hitter was a little fast dude named Tony Womack. We said, all right. We said, Tony, your job is to get on base and get this son of a gun in the stretch. Because if we get him in the stretch, we're going to get his ass. Sure enough, Tony started with a double, and we went on to win that game like 16-2 or something like that. We just boat raced him in game six. And then game seven came, and it was and Randy Johnson threw a beautiful game. And then game seven came. It was one of the classic game sevens, pitching duels of Roger Clemens and Curt Schilling that you'll ever see. And, Soriano, we're winning by a run. Soriano hits a two-run homer in the top of the eighth inning to put the Yankees up, I think, 2-1 or 3-2. And you know what that means. When you go to the eighth inning against the New York Yankees, Mariano Rivera.
Yep.
You know? And so we see that sucker. Here he comes trotting in the bottom of the eighth inning. And we're like, oh, boy. You're like, he's never blown a World Series save. He is, in my opinion, the greatest closer that ever lived. So he strikes out the side in the eighth inning. And my second favorite memory of my career was I'm leading off the ninth inning. And I get a base hit to center field. And now we're like, you know, we're down a run, but, you know, it's still Mariano Rivera. Yeah, I got a base hit. And Bob Brindley made his greatest managerial move of his career. He pinch ran for me because you know me, Booney. if I raced a pregnant lady, I'd come in third. So he pinch ran for me, a faster guy named David DeLucci. So, you know, I can, you know, this was 20-something years ago, Booney. I can remember that whole inning. You know, just nothing. We drop a bunt. Mariano throws it into center field. He was one of the best fielders that ever played. He threw it into center field. So now we bunt again. You know, first and second, nobody. Bunt again. They get a force out at third base. So now we're sitting at first and second, one out. Tony Womack hits a double on a Mariano Rivera cutter. He was a left-handed hitter, a cutter about 6 inches inside. Tony finds a way to get the head on the ball, hits a double down the line, tie game, second and third, one out. So now Craig Counsell comes up and gets hit by a pitch. Now it's bases loaded. And here comes Gonzo. Joe Torre decides, I'm going to play the infield in. Gonzo hits the famous little bloop that if the infield was back, it would have been easily caught by Jeter. Mm-hmm. But Torre decided to play the infield in. And, you know, it'll never be a line drive in the book because it wasn't. But it was the coolest bloop I've ever seen. And honestly, you just saw a bunch of grown men out there just with tears in their eyes, crying, just jumping all over each other like little kids. It was amazing.
It is too, because the infield's in, and on the telecast, as soon as Gonzo hits it, he knows it's a knock.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you're sitting there and you don't know the situation of the game, you're going, wait a minute, how is that? Oh, okay, infield's in. But you've been up there, Gracie, a million times, and that runner in third, less than two, and you do what it takes to get it done. If the infield's in, that little dinker, that works all day long.
That's all it takes.
You know, and sometimes it takes a 12-hopper to shortstop. You don't get the 0 for 0 with a ribby, but you still get the job done.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't blame Joe Torre for bringing the infield in. You know, I mean, you know Mariano, he just broke so many bats. So if you play the infield back and Gonzo hits a little broken bat, you know, little right. grounder to second base, he's going to beat out the double play and the game's going to be, you know, and you're going to lose them. So I don't blame. I thought Joe Torre made the right play, but of course he goes down as a villain for playing the infield in. But
well, think of this too. That was when Knobloch was the second baseman, right?
Yes.
And it comes down to, and believe me, I've played with enough different managers. It comes down to how much does your manager trust the duo in the middle. I remember in Cincinnati, Davey Johnson would look at me and Larkin and leave it up to us. And we'd let him know what we were going to do in that situation. Yeah. I've been on other teams.
Two gold glovers, exactly.
I've been on other teams where they kind of know the skipper makes the determination, you know, depending on who's out there in the middle. So, no, I completely understand. In that situation, that was his feeling. And you're right. Being a left-handed hitter, I mean, it was – Mariano's no walk in the park, but I felt as a right-handed hitter, I had a chance because I knew it was coming. I was going to try to take my base hit. It was the heaviest – it was the heaviest cutter I've ever faced.
Oh, yeah.
It felt like a Maddox sinker on my bat. So the last thing I ever thought about with Mariano was taking him deep. I didn't even think about hitting the double. I thought about take your base hit the other way and move on. But for a lefty, it was a different ball game.
So I it's funny that you bring up Chuck Knoblauch, who had a hell of a career. He was player. He was a good player. But honestly, Booney, I if you want to be on the spot, are you going to trust Chuck Knoblauch to throw that? To throw that force play at home plate?
Absolutely not. And I remember I played several postseason series against when Chuck in the 99, I was on the Braves and we played the Yankees in the World Series. And I'd never felt this way before about an opponent. And it played the same position as me. Usually we don't like each other, a second baseman. But I remember thinking to myself, I felt so bad for him when he was going through that throwing thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to win so bad, but I want them to either take him out of the game. I couldn't imagine in New York at old Yankee Stadium, getting a ground ball with two outs. And all I need to do is throw it from second to first. And I can't.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine being in that body. And I almost remember, cause you're right. Chuck Knoblauch was a hell of a player. He's won multiple rings. Really good play. I think he was a rookie of the year.
He had a terrific career.
I felt bad for him. Like, I don't want the ball hit to him in a big situation. And
because,
as an opponent,
because of his throwing. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So it's so many things that people don't think about that you know, it comes back to, you know, had you not mentioned that, I would have never thought about that. And here we are 20 some odd years later and I'm learning something new about what just happened, you know.
Gracie, I can always teach you.
That's why I'm glad I did this with you today.